Well, I'm joined now by Kieran Mullooly, former RTE correspondent, of course, for the Midlands. Good morning, Kieran, and good to talk to you.
Good morning, Owen, and good morning to your listeners.
Before we elaborate on that point that I mentioned there, just to get your reaction to this whole debacle and, you know, how you felt and other staff members or former staff members felt when news of this emerged a couple of weeks back.
Well, listen, Owen, thanks very much for giving me the opportunity to come on this morning. I mean, I worked for RTE News for over 25 years in the Midlands, covering everything from the Longford-Roscommon border to where you are there in Kildare, to Naas and to Rathangan and all parts of the county, Kildare town. And I suppose in that 25-year period, we came in on at least four or five occasions when we were brought in by management. And they said to us, listen, he said, the place is broke, we're financially in trouble, we need more licence fee increase and we need to cut back. And we were told on these occasions you had to cut back our facilities, we had to cut back our expense in terms of covering the story. And that meant in that period that I lost my original studio in Athlone, it was closed down. They moved to a premises with a lower rent. When my cameraman retired a number of years ago, about 8 years ago now, he was never replaced. And then, like everybody else in the organisation, we were asked to take pay cuts. And I suppose we did this on the basis that the organisation was in trouble. But we also did it on the basis that we were told the top presenters' fees were coming down. Way back in 2005, 2006, this situation just got out of control. And the unions and workers, the ordinary workers in RTE, the people on a lot less than €100,000, never mind €500,000, came forward at that time and said to RTE management, these fees are crazy. These salaries are crazy. Where are you going with them? Where are you getting them? And how do you think anybody could get this salary from any other broadcaster on these islands? We said it to staff, to the management at that time, and we were told, you know, we inherited this situation. They're coming down 15%, 20%, they're coming down up to 30%. And that's why last week's news and the week before was such a torpedo for myself and for present staff in RTE when we learned that, in fact, they weren't coming down with respect to the top presenter. They were actually going up. And to be quite frank about it, Owen, that came as an absolute sickener for myself and for most of the staff who work in RTE.
Yeah, and we've obviously seen, you know, dramatic scenes outside Montrose and Donnybrook, and understandably staff who did jobs like you did felt as though that they had been, you know, hugely let down. And just going back to those resources that weren't available for you and for other staff, it meant that you were quite limited then when you had to go out to certain markings or certain areas.
Yeah, I mean, you will know the situation yourself, and your colleagues there in the newsroom and KFM will understand that when something happens in news, you don't normally get notices a day in advance. You're not told a day in advance that a building is going to go on fire or that, God forbid, somebody's going to be killed in an accident on the Dublin to Cork motorway in Kildare. These things happen instantly, unfortunately. And, you know, the call comes in to me from RTE News Desk asking me to cover the event, to get down there, get the story, get the information, get it on air and get the pictures on air. And if you haven't got a cameraman working with you on a full-time basis, as we used to have in the region, then it's very difficult because you're waiting on a camera crew to come out of Dublin, or you're waiting for a camera crew, in my case, a lot of the time, coming from the West Coast, from our studios in Galway and Sligo, where there was a camera person at the time. And it's really asking us to do the job with one hand tied behind your back, because a lot of the time you miss the pictures, you miss the story. And there's another issue here, Owen, which really is annoying about this. You have to remember the context of the timing when this was going on. We've learned in the last week or two that Ryan Tubridy and his agent, Noel Kelly, were chasing up their invoices for payment in RTE in July of 2020. They said they were owed, remember, they claimed they were owed €150,000 on a contract. This was for the extra work, contract, this tripartite, this hidden arrangement. This is the really grubby part about it. It was a hidden arrangement. We learned about it, that they were looking for those invoices in July of 2020. Now, you and your listeners will know exactly what we were doing in July of 2020. We were up to our neck in COVID-20 and COVID-2021. We were in a situation whereby we were flat out, day after day, trying to report what was going on in the country, what was going on in Kildare at that time. Half the county, in fact, all of the county, was shut down. Remember, we had Offaly in Kildare cut down in August of 2020, closed up effectively. People lost their jobs. People who are self-employed lost their jobs, lost their income, were out of work. A lot of people were being furloughed at the time. premises were being closed. People were basically couldn't go anyplace. And we've learned in the last 10 days that at the very same time that this people were going through this, 3,500 people were already in hospital, remember, and 1,600 people had died in July of 2020. But at the very same time, Ryan Tuberty and his agent Noel Kelly were chasing up payment for invoices for work, which they hadn't done. Mm. Work that they actually hadn't carried out in the first place. And that's the problem with all of this. That's the context of what was going on. This is, these are the questions, I'm afraid, that Ryan Tuberty has to answer next week.
In addition to that, Ciarán, yourself, you're being told that, you know, you couldn't get a full-time camera facility in Athlone. Other staff in Dublin were crying out for a Dublin correspondent. We're told that, you know, the funding isn't there for that. Other people, documentary makers, brought ideas forward. They were told, no, we can't facilitate that at the moment. The RTE executives and the board going to the Public Accounts Committee, going to the government with cap in hand, saying we need more funding. So this is what's really peeving people off in the public, but I'm sure within the RTE workforce on the ground as well.
Absolutely. Staff were just really, really frustrated. I mean, examples of what you're talking about was my colleague Richard Dowling left his job in the Northeast before that period, and the job was not filled for over 2 years. The job was left vacant, and that meant that people in Louth, in Mead, in Cavan and Monaghan had no coverage in terms of a proper week-to-week coverage. And when something did happen, it was left to myself in the Midlands and others in the Northwest even were going in. My colleague Eileen Magner was coming across into Monaghan and Cavan from Sligo and basically driving hundreds of miles every week to try and cover a region that we weren't responsible for on the inside. And at the same time, things that were similar were happening in Dublin. As you said, there were vacancies being left empty because they were trying to save. They told us they were saving money. That's what they told us. They were saving money. So there we had it. Cutbacks in terms of region studios, cutbacks. Freelancers were laid off. I remember that very well. There was a message to us in terms of using freelance contributors to cut back because we couldn't afford it. Yet at the very same time, we've learned in the last 10 days that RTE's commercial department were whining and dining executives who albeit were spending money with RTE, at places like the Soho Club in London, one of the most exclusive club venues in the city. And I'm afraid this is where the problem is for RTE to explain at the moment. If you're getting funding from two sources, one is commercial income, one is the licence fee, it's going to have to be very clear in future who exactly is paying for what. Because the licence payer will not put up with a situation whereby some of the outputs we heard about this week, from flip-flops to exclusive clubs to parties and concerts, are going to be paid for by the licence payer. Nobody will accept under any circumstances that they can be paid by the licence payer. It's absolutely ridiculous.
How do we restore that trust, Ciarán, do you think? And how do RTE restore it?
Well, I think the only positive thing to emerge in the last 24 hours, from my perspective, is the emergence of Kevin Backhurst, the incoming director of news. I know Kevin Backhurst. I worked under him in news before I left RTE. He's a straight talker, a very competent man, and he's also somebody who comes to RTE with the experience of the licence fee situation. He worked at the BBC for many years, and he knows what it is to run an organisation and a newsroom based on licence fee income and nothing else. And I think he's the right person in the right place at the right time, to be quite frank about it. I listened to him last night talking about meeting the staff in Donnybrook and around the regions today or tomorrow, and I gather on Monday then he is to announce details of that restructuring. Now that's key here, Owen. Now we need to see a restructuring of the executive board. After all the evidence and the answers we've heard from the executive in the last 10 days, RTE staff and a diesel license firm, I'm sure, want to see changes in what's going on there. We have to see restructuring. We have to see clear evidence of a system that is accountable. We have to. The trust has to be restored that there are no more grubby deals going on behind closed doors, because that's what's annoyed people here. That's what really has annoyed people, that an effort was made clearly to hide this expense for Ryan Tuberty and his agent within a new agreement. Mm. And thankfully, somebody in the auditor's office last March decided that it wasn't good enough, it wasn't acceptable, and it should be brought to management, to RTE, to question. And they simply couldn't answer those questions.
Can we go back to the salaries, Ciarán, of what has been described as the top talent within RTE? And I know that a lot of people have taken issue now with that word talent and the amount of money that is being paid to presenters and other people within RTE. And when you compare that to local radio stations like KFM, who we're the most listened to station in Kildare. Other radio stations that are locally around the country would be the most listened to radio station within their respective counties. But to be quite frank with you, nobody in any of those stations could even dream of getting paid the money that is being paid in RTE. There is that disconnect, Ciarán, would you agree?
I said it a few moments ago, Owen, that the salary rate and the fees being paid were absolutely ridiculous from the very, very, almost from the very, very onset of this. This began, this culture of paying exorbitant fees to presenters began back in the days of the late Gay Byrne. And I think it is true to say that Gay Byrne could have left the organisation and probably would have left the organisation, because your listeners may remember he had some financial difficulties himself with an investment that went wrong. And he came to a point in his life, late point in his career, when he was back to a very small pot of savings and stuff. He went to RTE and he said he needed the money. He said he would leave if he didn't get it. And I actually believe he would have left if he didn't get it. And I think he commanded a higher salary at that time. But someplace around the Celtic Tiger period on, all of this situation went crazy. Everything seemed to go off the Richter scale during the Celtic Tiger period. Because RTE will admit they were bringing in more television commercial income and radio income than ever before. They could charge whatever they wanted on the rate card during that period of the Celtic Tiger, and they did. And while the money was coming in, for some peculiar reason, which I just still don't understand, a line developed behind Gay Byrne, a queue of people who felt that they were worth more in the organisation and felt they could come forward to the then Director Generals and say, we're going to leave if we don't get it. No, it was a ridiculous situation from start to finish. And I don't blame Dee Forbes for this. Dee Forbes inherited this culture. You have to go back and ask the Director Generals who were there in 2001, 2002. People like Bob Collins and Cathal Gohan need to be asked this. Where did the culture come from? Why did they feel they had to pay presenters these six-figure sums? You're quite right. There was no way in the world they were going to be paid this by anybody in the industry. I mean, again, I think the contrast for what was going on to the top presenters in RTE and the rest of the organisation is incredible. I can assure you, you saw the list this week of the top 100 paid people. 71 people in the top 100 are managers in RTE. They're management in the company. Of the remaining 18, 20, 30 people, there are some of those high presenters. But the rest of the organisation, the average new pay in the newsroom was less than €50,000. And I gather it still is. So that's why so people like myself are so annoyed that this culture developed and was allowed to continue to develop at a time when we were promised on that those fees were coming down. We were lied to. And there's an awful lot of anger about that still, because it's a serious breach of trust. People have made sacrifices. People had to go after the boom came the crash, of course, as you know, and during that period, RTE staff had their salaries reduced. We were told everybody had their salaries reduced, including Ryan Tubridy. But I know of colleagues on a lot less than €100,000 who had to go back to their own bank to renegotiate mortgages in that period because they were in financial trouble. They could not cope with the pay cut they had received at that time. And it's a lot lower scale a pay cut. But they did it, and they took it because they said it was the medicine that had to be taken. But quite clearly, we've now found out that some people weren't taking the medicine at all.
Do you think that this has changed RTE now going forward? And on the back of this, we're likely to see reform, whether or not it means that those salaries are not paid as high as they are at the moment and people have to take pay cuts, or also just when it comes to public and commercial monies. Because again, going back to local radio stations and that huge comparison, I mean, we rely solely on advertising. You know, there's some grants here and there that we can apply for, but it's solely advertising. Whereas when you look at RTE, they get the television licensee, they're funded by the taxpayer, but then they get advertising as well. So there is that huge disconnect there. Do you think this will change it now, and that culture has to change?
I think that culture has to change. The events of the last 10 days are going to have a devastating effect on RTE. There's no doubt about that. There's going to be good and bad emerging from this. I think the good will be a more comprehensive auditing of what's going on in there in terms of the financial control of the company and the way it's operated. That's good for RTE. I think it should have happened earlier. I suppose the bad side is that the lack of trust is unfortunate, particularly in areas of news. I think we saw recently that up to 90% of people in Ireland who take their news still trust RTE news above everything else. And I think that's that's important that that trust level stays in place. I was encouraged, in fact, heartened in recent days when someone said to me in local radio that if the Oireachtas committees were not able to investigate what was going on in RT, it would be RT investigates team in prime time. And to me, that's the best tribute I could pay to my colleagues, that they've been professional throughout all of this. But you're right, we're going to have a very different situation in future in terms of the licence fee and in terms of the way RT operates. I believe it's time for major change. I believe it's time to go back and separate the two. It's time to separate the licence fee and commercial income. And I believe personally that the licence fee should now only fund RTE news, current affairs and sport because of the work they do. And I also believe, and this is coming myself from a local radio background, remember I worked in Shannonside, Northern Sound, for three years back in the 90s. I also believe that the case can be made for a considerable amount of that licence fee also going to the local radio and independent sector for their news and current affairs, not particularly for entertainment programmes or anything else. News, current affairs, sport, I think, are the public areas, which this is public broadcasting at its best. Publics, and I think those are the key ones. I think the days of RTE paying their Friday night entertainment host from the licence fee are over. And I think it's been abused. The system has been abused, and it's now time for the commercial income side of the house to be entirely separated. I think we need to see that happening very, very quickly if people who are paying their television license fee are to have any faith and have their trust restored in what's going on.
Okay, listen, thanks for joining us on the show. There's lots of messages coming in to congratulate you, and I suppose thank you for speaking out on this, Kieran, because it is, as you say, coming from those that are working on the ground, that anger is coming from, and, you know, thanks indeed for joining us on the show and speaking out about it. That's Kieran Mullooly, former RTE correspondent, weighing in on the RTE controversy, and, yeah, just to get to some of those messages that are coming in. Thanks, Kieran, for joining us. Tom T in Kildare Town says, great exposure and insight by Kieran Mullooly on the show this morning. Also, Jack in Castle Dermot says, well done to Kieran for speaking out about RTE. Another one says, I'm saying that for years people should threaten to walk away because there's greed there, apparently, according to Joy. Teresa says, I'm fed up about some of the RTE workers. Congratulations to KFM and thanks to what you do for the listeners on a local level. Mick in Meath has been in touch to say, I haven't watched RTE for years, and after what has emerged and so much to come, I never will. And Mick saying that he's unhappy with the licensing fee as well. And yeah, a couple of people have texted in about that also. Want to go back as well to news that we heard yesterday. Fionnán Sheehan and Melanie Finn, right?